introduce the music you're listening to next by Party Buildar and Party. This is the General Overseas Service of All India Radio. Time for the news bulletin. Please stand by.
This is All India Radio, the news read by Aditi Roy.
Those the headlines.
Government announces repeal of Article 317 of the Constitution that granted special status to Jammu and Kashmir. Rajya Sabha adopts resolution to this effect. People of Jammu and Kashmir welcome the move to repeal Article 317. Rajya Sabha passes reorganization bill to make Jammu and Kashmir and Ladakh two separate union territories. A bill to provide 10% reservation for economically weaker section of the upper caste in the state also passed by the House.
Home Minister Amit Shah says scrapping of Article 317 will benefit all the sections of the society in the state,
and UN mission orders foreign governments to sever their ties with Myanmar army controlled business. Government today announced the repealing of Article 317, which grants special status to Jammu and Kashmir. The resolutions in this regard were adopted by the Rajya Sabha. The Upper House also passed the Jammu and Kashmir Reorganization Bill 2019 by voice vote. The bill seeks to make Jammu and Kashmir a union territory with legislation and a dark union territory without legislature. The Jammu and Kashmir Reservation Second Amendment Bill 2019, having provisions of 10% reservation for economically weaker sections of upper caste in the state, was also passed by the Rajya Sabha. Replying to debate on the bills and resolutions, Home Minister Amit Shah asserted the scrapping of Article 317 will benefit all the sections of society in Jammu and Kashmir and bring development and check terrorism. Mr. Shah said development of the state could not be possible due to this article and asked the people for 5 years to make Jammu and Kashmir the most developed state in India. He said Article 317 was the root of all the evils, corruption and poverty, and main cause of terrorism in the valley. He said terrorism cannot be rooted out from the state without scrapping the article. He said it is because of this that democracy was never fully implemented and corruption increased in the state. The minister said that Jammu and Kashmir will go back to being a state from union territory as soon as the situation is normal in the valley. Mr. Shah stated that Article 317 was meant to be temporary, but the previous governments did not dare to remove it due to vote bank politics. The minister said over 41,000 people of the state were killed in the last 2 decades. He said BJP has always believed that Article 370 is not in the favour of people of Jammu and Kashmir. The minister said only 3 families of the state were using it to further their own interests.
Earlier,
President Leader of Opposition in Rajya Sabha, Ghulam Nabi Azad, alleged that by bringing this bill, NDA government has disintegrated the integration which had occurred in the past 20 to 30 years. He said it would be what he called dark day in India's history. Other government leaders, Kapil Sibal and P. Chidambaram, also went out and the government saying it will have adverse consequences in the future. On the other hand, TDP's K. Ravindra Kumar supported the bill, saying this will lead to development and employment opportunities in Jammu and Kashmir. Political analyst Sekhar Anyar, talking to AIR, said that the step was long overdue.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi has praised Home Minister Amit Shah's speech in Rajya Sabha today on Jammu and Kashmir. In a tweet, the Prime Minister said Mr. Shah accurately highlighted the monumental injustices of the past and coherently presented the government's vision for the people of Jammu and Kashmir.
Sharing the Home Minister's speech on this Twitter handle, Mr. Modi says the views put forth by Mr. Shah were extensive and insightful. In Jammu Division in Jammu and Kashmir, people today were in an upbeat mood after Article 370 was abolished. Soon after, Union Home Minister Amit Shah made announcements about scrapping Article 370. People in some parts of Jammu district took to the streets to celebrate the historic decision. In Udhampur also, people came out in large numbers and started celebrations. The state unit of BJP welcomed the decision on Article 370 of the Constitution, saying people are thankful to Prime Minister Narendra Modi for mitigating their pain. Meanwhile, the situation in Jammu Division remained by and large normal, with no untoward incident being reported. In Ladakh region of Jammu and
Vishnu, jubilation over the announcements of repeal of Article 370 of the Constitution and introduction of Jammu and Kashmir Reorganization Bill 2019 that accords Union Territory status to Ladakh without legislature. Gratitude to the Centre's historic and courageous decision has started to pour from all over the region. Ladakh has been demanding Union Territory ever since independence. Many people have opted social media to express their joy for the fulfillment of long-pending demand of the region. BJP Leh has celebrated the announcement in Leh town in which people from all the walks of life have joined, singing, dancing and sloganeering to hail the Prime Minister Narendra Modi-led centre government. Union Information and Broadcasting Minister Prakash Javakar said, due to Article 370, people of Kashmir were not able to avail many benefits the citizens of other parts of the country are getting. In a series of tweets, Mr. Javakar said, the government wants to provide all opportunities for development to the people of Kashmir like in other parts of the country. He said the people of Kashmir want better education, development and peace in the state. The minister said abolishing Article 370 is a historic step for the nation which will result in the beginning of massive development in the state. This is All India Radio giving you the news. Senior officials of Ministry of External Affairs briefed the envoys of several countries, including P5 nations in New Delhi, on proposals related to Article 370 of the Indian Constitution and administrative reorganization of Jammu and Kashmir that were introduced in Parliament today. Sources in External Affairs Ministry said during the meeting it was inter alia highlighted that the proposals currently under consideration of the Parliament are internal to India. These are aimed at providing good governance, social justice and economic development in Jammu and Kashmir. Lok Sabha has passed the Surrogacy Regulation Bill 2019. The bill prohibits commercial surrogacy but allows altruistic surrogacy. It defines surrogacy as a practice where a woman gives birth to a child for an intending couple with the intention to hand over the child after the birth to the intending couple. Moving the bill, Health Minister Dr. Harshvardhan said, India has emerged as a habit for surrogacy in recent years. He said there are 2,000 to 3,000 surrogacy clinics running illegally in the country. He said the purpose of the bill is to ensure effective regulation of surrogacy. Lok Sabha also today passed the Transgender Persons Protection of Rights Bill 2019. A UN independent international fact-finding mission has urged foreign businesses and governments to sever ties with more than 140 companies owned or controlled by the Myanmar military, Takmadaw. In the report released by the UNHRC today, it said these companies help the Myanmar army to avoid public scrutiny and carry out human rights violations with impunity. It also called for immediate imposition of targeted sanctions against companies run by the military. The report accused the military of carrying out extensive human rights violations against civilians in Kachin, Shan and Rakhine provinces, including the forced deportation of more than 700,000 ethnic Rohingya to Bangladesh. The report says that Takmadaw owns and operates Myanmar Economic Holdings Limited and the Myanmar Economic Corporation with interest in businesses like banking, insurance, tourism, jade and ruby, mining among others. In Hong Kong, riots police today clashed with pro-democracy protesters for the third straight day. Clouds of tear gas billowed across multiple locations this afternoon as the city buckled under a general strike, which protesters pushed to emphasize they still had broad public support following 2 months of increasingly violent unrest. Meanwhile, in a rare public appearance, since the crisis began, Chief Executive Charlie Lam warned protesters who would not fall to the demands. Early in the morning, activists descended on the subway stations during rush hour, deliberately keeping open doors to shop trains departing and paralyzing large parts of the metro that millions of people use daily. In cricket, India will be looking the complete whitewash over the West Indies in the 2020 International three-match series, with the two teams clashing the final at Providence Stadium in Guyana tomorrow. The match will begin at 8 p.m. IST. And now in this brief bulletin, here are the main points once again. Government announces repeal of Article 370 of the Constitution that granted special status to Jammu and Kashmir. Rajya Sabha adopts resolutions to this effect. People of Jammu and Kashmir welcome the move to repeal Article 370. Rajya Sabha passes reorganization bill to make Jammu and Kashmir and Ladakh two separate union territories. A bill to provide 10% reservation for economically weaker section of upper caste in the state also passed by the House. Home Minister Amit Shah says scrapping of Article 370 will benefit all sections of society in the state, and UN Mission urges foreign governments to sever ties with Myanmar army controlled business. And that is the end of the source bulletin.
This is the Central Overseas Services Islander Radio. In our bingo, a day of commentary titled President Ramnath Kovind's tour intensifies India's West Africa outreach, scripted by strategic analyst on Africa, Dr. Nivedita Ray.
Indian President Ramnath Kovind undertook a 7-day tour to three francophone countries of West Africa: Benin, the Gambia, and Guinea. The choice of destinations assumes significance as it demonstrates the high priority that India attaches to fostering ties with Africa, particularly Francophone West Africa. President Kovind's visit to the three countries was historic, as it was the first time that an Indian presidential visit was taking place. It may be noted that traditionally India's relations with Francophone West African countries have not been as strong as it has been with the Anglophone African countries, owing to language barrier, lack of contact and distance. The scale and scope of the relations remain below potential despite various policy initiatives taken to enhance the ties. The high-level visits are part of India's efforts to boost India's ties with the Francophone West African region. Recently, India had announced opening of 18 missions in Africa, mostly in Francophone African countries, to increase its diplomatic footprints in the region. These visits need to be seen in the broader context of India's proactive approach to strengthen its relations and increase its outreach in Africa. During these visits, President Kovind held delegation-level talks with the respective leaders, addressed the National Assembly in Benin and the Gambia, and interacted with the Indian community present in the three countries. The focus of the discussions remained to strengthen bilateral ties in key sectors such as trade, investment, solar energy, agriculture, digital technology, capacity building, maritime security and defense, as well as discuss issues of common concern in international arena. In Benin, both sides agreed to make efforts to broaden export basket and support mutual investment. President Kovind announced the extension of e-visa facility, which he noted would help to improve business relations. In the Gambia, President Kovind highlighted India's expectations of the Gambia's continued support for Indian enterprises and investment. In Guinea, President Kovind underlined the keenness of Indian companies to invest in Guinea, especially in the mining, infrastructure, health and pharmaceutical sectors. To enhance development partnership as per the priorities of the respective countries, the Indian president made various announcements. He announced a line of credit of $100 million to Benin for its national priority projects, a special ITEC course in English proficiency, and a special professional course for foreign diplomats from Benin. An assistance of $500,000 to the Gambia in support of skill development and cottage industry projects. Offered training in the fields of judiciary, police, administration and technical expertise as per Gambia's request. Assistance of a new line of credit of $170 million to Guinea for Conakry water supply project. President Kovind also stressed on the cooperation in solar energy to combat climate change and appreciated the leadership of Benin, the Gambia and Guinea for joining hands with India as stakeholders in the International Solar Alliance. Enhancing defense and
security cooperation was also stressed upon by India. Given the rise of piracy in the Gulf of Guinea, India offered training assistance to Benin to expand its anti-piracy capacity. In the joint statements, both sides raised concern over the rise of terrorism and expressed the need for the early adoption of the Comprehensive Convention on International Terrorism. The three visits witnessed signing of various MOUs to enhance partnership. In Benin, the two sides signed 4 agreements on cultural exchange, cooperation in export credit, and investment insurance, E-VBAB, E-Vidya Bharati, and E-Arogya Bharati network project. Visa exemption for Indian diplomatic and official passports. In the Gambia, both sides signed and exchanged MOUs on cooperation in the field of traditional systems of medicine and homeopathy. In Guinea also, the two presidents witnessed the signing of MOUs on cooperation in the field of traditional system of medicine and homeopathy, EVBAB network project, and in the field of renewable energy. Overall, President Kovind's three-nation tour was very successful in fostering closer ties with the region.
You just heard the race commentary
titled President Ramnath Kovind's tour
intensifies India's West Africa outreach, scripted by strategic analyst on Africa, Dr. Nivedita Ray. You are tuned to the General Overseas Service of All India Radio. Now move on to our program on modern Indian music. Let's listen to Indie Pop Numbers by KK. KK. This is the Central Overseas Service of All India Radio.
You are with us on the General Overseas Service of All India Radio. In our program, Welcome to Studio One, we bring you the first part of our conversation with Mr. Adil Hussain, versatile stage, television and film actor. In conversation with Mr. Adil Hussain is senior journalist Ms. Avir Chori. After the conversation, the audience interacted with our esteemed guest in a question and answer session.
From pursuing theatre as a school and college hobby to being a multifaceted actor today, Adil Hussain has come a long way. An alumnus of the National School of Drama, Adil has trained with many theatre gurus along the way. Today, we come face to face with Adil, life and work. Welcome to the studio, Adil.
Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, let us join hands to congratulate the first Indian actor, Adil Hussain, to win the top Norwegian film honor, the Amanda Award, for his role in the film, What Will People Say? And I personally salute to the ace actor as he has dedicated the Amanda Award to the people of Goalpara in Assam, where he belongs to, and because he believes in art can break boundaries of all kinds. Okay, Adil, my first question to you is your childhood. As a schoolboy, theatre was a part of your dream, but did you ever think that this would one day become your career?
A difficult question, because I wanted to be an actor for sound, and I hope that it will also be able to feed me. I don't look at acting as whatever I'm doing now over the years. I don't look at that as a career, because I don't know what expert dictionary defines the word career, how it is defined. I don't know that. I'd like to find out, Google them. For me, I think that anything one loves to do, and if you really love it, then you do it. And that's sort of already rewarding, because you are being able to practice what you love to do. And then after that, if somebody applauses, or, you know, some people would give you money, which is like a dessert after a wonderful, satisfying meal. So I don't even think that I have an acting career. I think that's what I do. I mean, that's my lifeline. That's my breath. Yeah, but also I never thought about that, that I would take up acting as a career. I thought I'll just act. There's a lovely instance my acting teacher told me about. Two poets, I forgot the names, the very famous poets, Byron and Shelley or someone. And I don't know who is senior, who is junior, who is very good at it, remember. So one of them came to the other and said, I'd like to be a poet. So either Byron or Shelley said, hey, you would not like to write poetry, you want to be a poet. Huh? So having monsters, when they want to be an actor, instead of saying they want to be an actor, they could say, I love to act. You will become an actor if you practice hard. So I think I realized that I just loved to act, and that's it. I'm still doing it, and I haven't yet fallen out of love of acting, and I hope that I would like to act in a day.
Great. My next question is, you grew up in a small town in Goalpara, in Assam, where you were part of a large family. So I just want to ask that, did you get the support for your aspirations of becoming an actor, especially your father, the school teacher?
When he passed away in 2002, all my respect and love for him. No, he didn't. And I understand why he didn't. I empathize with him much later, I realize, okay, so as a father, the fear that you have, you know, in terms of earlier living, because that's the whole system that which is in place in most of the countries, including India. And the system which is passed is because of the way that the British has ruled us, and then they left behind an education system, and the education system was actually designed to create neighbors to run the country, and we are products of that. And now countries in Scandinavia and Finland, they have completely changed the education system, because we have no idea what is going to happen even after 5 years, you know, if you look at the technological advancement and all that. So he, as any father would, thought that, you know, he has to have a degree and earn some living, and acting wasn't a sort of a career option for him. Like, he couldn't even visualize Abhi as an actor earning money. So my father, I guess, was worried. And also, I think it is important that parents, and now I have a pardon, as an 8-year-old, I got married pretty late in my life. As a father, I know that I would like to protect my child from things which are uncomfortable in his life, but I feel that that's not because I love him. That's because I'm worried the pain that I will face seeing my offspring intake.
You understand what I'm saying?
The most fathers, because I love him, that's why I want to do this for him or for her. That has nothing to do with my love for him. It's to do with my pain that I will feel seeing my offspring in pain. So instead of working on my pain or fear that I have, I try to control my children. I think that needs to be looked at as well. It is very important that a lot of youngsters come to me and say, my father is not allowing me to do this. I'm like, you love your father, but go ahead and do what you feel like doing. It is not a disrespect to your father at all. At a certain point of time, your father and your mother will understand. Like my parents understood. I said, nothing doing, I want to be an actor. Nobody can stop me in the world. And after, he was 92, and I went back home. I did a play in England in 2002, and came back to Guwalpara after like 1 year. So he's a little bit mellowed and all that, and we became friends, and always smiling and laughing. And then, finally he says, you must be doing something good. He always spoke to me in English. He taught me English. So I said, yeah, why do you say that? You know, I saw your interview on BBC.
Wow.
I was like, oh. So, what does it mean? You know, BBC wouldn't interview someone who is not good enough. So I thought, you trust BBC more than your son. So he laughed a lot, and so I'm happy that at least he said that, and he was, okay, this guy is, you know, he can do it, he's a survive. That was his only worry. He had nothing against acting, he has nothing against films, he loved watching plays, and you know, he was a devotee of Tagore, and he tortured me with Tagore poems when I was a kid, and I'm thankful he did torture me that I'm in love with Tagore. Yeah, so that's the main answer to your short question.
Goenkara is steeped in culture, especially the Goenkara folk music, dance. So were you also part of that?
I grew up listening to all sorts of, like as I said, my father was a devotee of Tagore, so since morning there will be Tagore songs, and then Tumri and classical vocal songs, and Dhrupad, and Gautama songs like our Dal Bhat. And you listen to Padmaya Tado, you listen to Bhupendra, Bhupen Hazarika, and those sort of consciousness, they introduced us to the finer aspects of humanity through their words, and about romance, about nostalgia, about life, including love for your region and culture and country.
That's how it came out.
Yeah, Amanda, I want to think about.
Yes, absolutely. I was told by a very, very famous psychiatrist that the things that you learn till you are 4 years old is what you are. After that, only intellectual development happens to some extent, but the inner emotional drive and your aspirations will not change the new world, but the foundation is. So it is very important for parents and how you treat your child till they are 4. You know, it goes into the inner system. So I thought that, yes, it is very important, because if I wasn't born there, I wouldn't have been here sitting with you, now having a child. Yes.
So the range of songs that were acted in Adil, I mean, it's actually to say mind-boggling, because it's English, Malayali, Hindi, Assamese, Bengali, and now this Norwegian film. Has it been easy for you to break the barriers of language, culture?
I don't think if it was easy, then I would do it. You know, it should be difficult. Because when we put ourselves in difficulties, then only we grow. But we don't look for difficult situations, by the way, and still look for it, we'll come. Don't worry about it. Never been the whole idea of method acting. You should have a very difficult life to be a very good actor. Nothing. Rangit had been a photo. I was a mimic actor. I fell in love with mimicry when I was a kid. So I felt attracted towards different kinds of accents. For example, I had the knack for it, and so I used to make all kinds of accents, from how the Bengalis would speak Bihari, how the Assamese would speak. When the Assamese people speak in English, they speak something like this, quite often. And you know how the Bengalis would speak Assamese. So I had that. And so when we talk to an Iranian film or an Asian film, I don't look at that as a language, like a sound for me. So you hear the sounds. Because also in my training courses, I realized that the meaning of a word is in the sound of the word. So the ghali is the door window to the primordial meaning of the word. How words come into being, I think, till today I haven't had any concrete history that how did it come. All these different kinds of words in thousands of languages across the globe, we have no idea how it came into being. So while doing Shakespeare, that was my focus. Like, I have to find the meaning. Of course I know the meaning. Anand is a guy, you know, who serves tea, or who teaches me, is Mr. Anand Kumar. But Anand, so when Einstein would say Anand, would mean very different than when Adam would say. So how do I understand the magnitude of the meaning of Anand? So that fascinated me, and then when I did Shakespeare, a Hamlet, I did it for 10 years, and I tried to go and I explored each and every word. When I prepared for a Hamlet, I locked myself in a room from 10 to 5, and then 6 to 9 for official rehearsals. So I used to just go through each and every word and try to find even the meaning of in. What does it mean by I am in? In. How does it sound? How does it feel? So otherwise, no, I'm in the room. No, no, I'm in the room. In. So I is in. How it vibrates. So that's how language was very, very important for me. So I didn't look at that as language. I looked at that as a combination of sound. So it is extremely fascinating for me to know. I have to speak Norwegian. Can you tell me that? I know the meaning, the syntax meaning, you know, the intellectual meaning, but I would like to know the field of emotional meaning. How it feels in the body, when, how which of the resonators would vibrate when I say over, 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 over. So how does it work vibratory in your body? So again, long answer to your first question. But
okay.
I also teach acting, so I thought that both people of high end should be benefited as well.
So after your stint at London on this Charles Swallow scholarship, you went back to Assam.
Abu, yeah.
Why didn't you stay back?
No, I think after I came back from England after the course, I was looking for something more, something deeper in England. The whole idea of going to England was that I had a lot of questions which nobody could answer. Then I realized these are very philosophical, so they were not really bothered about that question. Like, no, but it's just do it and find out. Yeah, but you know, I have this question, why should I act? After I know that they have better things to do, because how does it serve the society? I mean, of course I'm having fun, you know, blah, 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 but am I doing something good for him or for the rest of the world? Because I come from a very principled family. My father was like very, very, very strict, postponed people. Anyway, so these questions were not answered, and I came back. I met my teacher who picked me at the National School of Drama. His name is Khalid Faibji. And Khalid Faibji is the youngest son of India's one of the foremost diplomats, Badruddin Faibji, who is responsible to bring this Ashok Chakra into the national flag as a state. So he, I saw his performance and I was completely blown by the performance. And I thought he was the person, he's the actor that I'd like to be. I'd like to be like. So I went up to him and he asked him that I'd like to work with you. And he said, how much money do you have? I said, 100 rupees. He said, great. Can you organize 100,000 rupees within a year? And you have to have an Enfield motorbike, you specified, and meet me after one year. I give you 1 year time. And I fell from the sky because I stopped taking money from my dad since I was 17. And I was and they refer to them.
So I said, okay.
So there is a will, there is a way. I knew that, but I thought I should practice it and prove it. So I went to a firm and I joined the Mobile Theatre Company, which is a commercial mobile theatre company, which travels from one town to the other town. And I performed for 9 months every evening. I had to perform. Not only one show, maybe sometimes two to three shows. And I earned 160,000 rupees, but I saved 150. I bought a motorbike for 20,000 rupees, and I had cash. Those days, I had cash 1 lakh. And that money was not for him, that was for me. So that I can look after myself, so that he doesn't have to pay me while he teaches me. So that I traveled for 2 years on my motorbike with him. After a point he left, we had to go somewhere. I continued the travel for 2 years, and I fell in love with India. That's the time that I got introduced to this amazing, magical land that we have. And I hope that we're treating India well nowadays.
Have I spoken to the house and you can ask questions?
Hi sir, I'm Shachupa.
Hi Shachupa.
And I would like to ask you that how do you manage so much work within just 24 hours?
How do I manage? No, am I doing too much work?
Theater and
I haven't been doing much theater. No, I wish that I could. And I wish theater had a little more money. Theater actors can do theater and they don't have to fall for the glamour of the film world. Because theater is, I think, such a movement that it creates that vibrant connection between the audience. That's why, like, I'm here. And imagine me here now in our sky. It can be two different things. Okay. So no matter how powerful cinema is, but when there's a live actor and live audience, nobody can replace this experience. You need a lot of money to really practice the good theater, not the theater show kandunga, ekkardunga, not like that. You know, it has to be in the education system. It has to be as important as mathematics, as important as physics, from kindergarten. And then we'll have a different kind of society, and I think the government will spend more or less money in law and order if we have theater practice.
Absolutely.
From the childhood, people will understand what empathy is, what love is, what compassion is, what other point of view is. Even if it is an opposite point of view, we don't fight, we talk, we converse, not debate it. Because debate is tricky, it's good, but we can converse, we can talk, and we don't have to fight at all. We don't have to have a tolerant society, because tolerant is the last thing that I would like to be. I would like to be in a harmonious society, not tolerant society. So theater needs a lot of money. So I hope that that happens.
I just like to ask you one question.
Mm-hmm. That is your take on comedy. Do you see you in future in a comedy avatar?
Well, I told you I'm a stand-up comedian. I did a film called Z+. Very few people have seen it. It is a satire. I am a trained comedian. I'm trained as a clown. A clown across the globe. Clowning is something very different, which you need your costume and everything. But the political satire needs to be your son. From 1985 to 1990 to 1923, I was part of a group of four people. We did a lot of political satire, not the classic comedy, but extremely political satire, and very funny at the same time. Because we didn't have any malice against the people that we were talking about. It was with the intention of reformation and not to put down the other person. This comedy that often happens, putting down the other person, you know, it's always the fall of status. It's always all the jokes that you hear, most often 99.9% of the jokes are about putting down the person, the language, the culture, the customs, the values. It's always about that. Or about I'm putting down myself or I'm trying to put down somebody else. But I think that comedy is okay. Our egos should also be trampled upon sometimes. But also pure laughter. That happens in clowning quite often. Not the clowning. Our admin trade has a particular formative form called general tomfoolery. Like you wear a costume of your own design, your face is painted, and then you go into the street. You have no script, you have nothing. You go to the street and you start interacting. But your motto is that you become the receiving butt of the wrath of the world, so that people can pick out all their frustrations on you. And after that, you give the smile.
You were listening to a conversation with Mr. Adil Hussain, versatile stage, television and film actor. In conversation with Mr. Adil Hussain was senior journalist Ms. Averi Chore. We will broadcast the concluding part of the program Welcome to Studio One tomorrow during all our transmissions. The program was produced by Monica Gulati with assistance in production by Kumar Gora. This broadcast came to you from the General Overseas Service of All India Radio.
And now to our session on film music. Today, you will be listening to Romantic Symphony. The first song that we are playing for you is film music Take Me Lightly, in the voice of Shankar Mahadevan. The music has been composed by Shankar, Ehsan and Loy.
to Shankar Mahadevan in the movie Phir Milenge. The next film that we have for you is from the movie Bharat in the voice of Abhijit Srivastava. The music score by Vishal Shekhar with the lyrics by Irshad Khan.
Take a break from our musical program, Romantic Symphony, and shall continue attending 30 hours in UBC. This is the Zulu Ocean Services Rolling India Radio.
This is Rolling Radio, and announced read by Aditi Mura.
Government has announced the repealing of Article 370, which grants special status to Jammu and Kashmir. The resolutions in this regard were adopted by the Rajya Sabha. Authorizers passed the Jammu and Kashmir reorganization bill in 2019 by voice vote. The VCs for Jammu and Kashmir is union territory with legislators and Ladakh union territory without legislators. The Jammu and Kashmir Reservation Second Amendment Bill 2019, having provisions of 10% reservation across non-farm worker sections of upper class and the fourth reverse accounts by the Rajya Sabha. Replying to debate on the bills and resolutions, Home Minister Amit Shah asserted that scrapping of Article 370 will benefit all sections of society in Jammu and Kashmir and bring development and self-tourism. It is also development of the state did not be precedent due to this article and asked the people for 5 years to make Jammu and Kashmir the most damaged state in India.